At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Authorities say two North Texas high school students face charges after bringing guns to campus a day after a deadly mass shooting at a school in Florida. The arrest today happened at separate schools in Flower Mound and Plano. Flower Mound police say a 16-year-old from Marcus High School is facing felony charges for bringing a small-caliber handgun to school. Police say the gun wasn't loaded, but ammunition was found. The other arrest happened at Plano West High School. Plano police spokesman David Tilley told the Dallas Morning News a tip was called in about a student bringing a gun to school. Tilley said no reported threats were made by the student. Early voting starts Tuesday in the Texas primaries. When Houston entrepreneur Andrew White entered the Democratic race for governor, he was seen as an underdog. The state's top party leaders leaned heavily toward his main rival for the nomination, former Dallas County Sheriff Lupe Valdez. But that appears to be changing. Houston Public Media's Andrew Schneider reports.
Andrew White says he knows why momentum's building in his favor.
The question that Democratic primary voters are asking themselves at the end of the day is which candidate can beat Greg Abbott? That candidate is somebody who can raise money.
White raised $1.1 million in January, including a $1 million loan he made his own campaign. That dwarfs Valdez's efforts. White also says his business experience makes him the Democrats' best hope to compete against Abbott with his statewide machine and his massive war chest.
I know how to build a team, and I know how to compete against multi-billion-dollar companies, because I did that, and I did it successfully.
What he hasn't done is run for office before. His political education came from watching his father, Mark White, one of Texas's last Democratic governors.
My father passed away a few months ago. At his funeral, I looked out and I saw our current governor, our current lieutenant governor, who had just called a special session to pass a bathroom bill.
White says they represent a Republican Party that has shifted too far to the right, a party that's ignoring important issues like education and health care. And he says most Texans want to see a functional government.
They're tired of the craziness, whether it's Donald Trump's craziness or Greg Abbott's craziness or Lieutenant Governor Patrick's craziness. They're tired of that extremism driving our state into the wrong direction, the wrong issues.
That's a message his Democratic rivals are running on, too. But White's opponents within the Democratic Party suggest he's not the best messenger for 2018. Critics, including Wendy Davis, the Democrats' 2014 nominee, contend he's not progressive enough. Then there's his background. Mark Jones is political science fellow at Rice University.
There are two schools of thought within the Democratic Party about how to return to majority status. One is more focused on identity politics, and its goal is to get more Latinos and African Americans to turn out to vote.
In that case, White represents the party's past, while candidates like Valdez represent its future. The other school of thought says, while it's important to mobilize minority voters, to win, Democrats also need to draw disaffected Republicans and independents.
The Democratic establishment, the entrenched Democratic elite, hasn't provided much in the way of movement for Democrats. And so his idea of being an outsider is that he can actually do it in a way that many Democratic insiders, people who've been office holders for years, cannot.
White has picked up endorsements from the Houston Chronicle and the Dallas Morning News. The Houston GLBT caucus also backed White over Valdez, an openly gay candidate. Brandon Rottinghouse, a political science professor at the University of Houston, suggests this all indicates White's approach is working.
It's not so much that the endorsements are that critical in swaying voters, but it is the case that a narrative has hardened that he's more competent for the job than her.
There are seven other candidates in the field besides Valdez and White, increasing the likelihood the primary could go to a May runoff. If White makes it through all that, he'll face Greg Abbott. He's under no illusions that will be easy.
I get that this is a David and Goliath type scenario where we're outmoneyed and we're outgunned. But don't forget, David won that fight, and we're going to win this one too.
There's one other factor White is counting on. Every other day, he says, President Trump tweets something that makes people angry. And when people are angry, they vote. In Houston, I'm Andrew Schneider.
Next week, we'll bring you a profile of another Democratic candidate for governor, Lupe Valdez, the former Dallas County Sheriff. What's the best rap song of all time? Tough question, right? How about this? What would an NBA game look like if a grizzly bear were starting at power forward? These are the kinds of questions that Garland native Arturo Torres brings to life. In this week's Art and Seek Artist Spotlight, Hadi Mwagdi tells us how Torres transformed from aspiring artist to illustrator of two New York Times bestsellers.
Arturo Torres has drawn everyone in rap and basketball. His comic book style portraits get shout outs from LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, and Chance the Rapper. The 27-year-old's art is featured on ESPN's Grantland and The Ringer. Nike and Google hire him to design interactive murals. And he's illustrated two best-selling books. But fame, money, and accolades are simply part of a larger goal.
The thing is, it's like for the longest time, I was just afraid of becoming my neighborhood or like becoming like my father. And so my thing that I had in life was I wanted to change the definition of my last name.
It goes back to his childhood.
And so like in the neighborhood that I grew up in, what does Torres look like? So if you were to ask somebody, be like, oh, it's a broken home. It's an alcoholic father. It's a single mom. You know, it's that.
As a kid, Torres was constantly surrounded by conflict. Outside his home, he saw neighbors selling drugs and getting into fights. And things weren't better inside either.
I began drawing as a way to escape just because there was domestic violence inside my house.
His drawing started off pretty simple. Mickey Mouse and other children's characters. But then Torres turned his attention to comic books.
So it was one of those things where, like, I would use it to ignore everything that was going on. Like, just replicating comic books. If I didn't like the ending to a comic book, I would do the whole thing from scratch and change the ending. And sometimes, like, the villain would be my dad and, like, Spider-Man's rescuing us and stuff like that.
Eventually, Torres's family moved to a shelter for domestic violence, and art became an even bigger outlet.
My counselor saw that that was the way that I was coping with all of this. So she saw that, and she encouraged that. She bought me, like, my first set of art supplies. And so, like, definitely shout out to Genesis because they're the reason why I draw.
Torres saw art as a way towards a better future. But he says even his own family had a problem with that.
If you're in the hood, man, and you tell people, it's like, oh, I don't want to live in this place anymore. Like, they're like, what's wrong with this place? Like, you're seen as the outcast. Like, oh, you think you can be better than this? You think you're better than everyone else?
Torres figured he could stay put or he could hustle.
He literally was a starving artist for a good while.
That's Torres' best friend, Julio Mendez. And they've known each other since they were 11 years old.
Back in the day, him and I used to just do art in my house. And then we'd find an event, we'd drive to it, make $200, and then that was it. I mean, that was kind of the start of everything.
Torres sold his work at art fairs. He made illustrations for online magazines, and he designed flyers for musicians. One of those flyers ended up changing his life.
I came across a flyer that he did for this group I like called The Outfit Texas.
That's Shea Serrano. Serrano lives in Houston and writes about sports and pop culture. At the time, he was looking for an illustrator for the rap yearbook.
I knew whoever drew the flyer was the person I wanted to ask to do the book.
And it was a hit, a New York Times bestseller in 2015. Last year, they partnered again on Serrano's Basketball and Other Things. And once again, it's a bestseller. But Serrano says Torres has an even brighter future.
I think he's one of the best working illustrators in the country. We will eventually get to a point where everybody starts to recognize that. Even now, the difference between the rap yearbook and the basketball book, like, it's increased tenfold.
That makes Torres smile because he's one step closer to redefining his name. But he's not satisfied. He wants to draw his own graphic novels, and he wants to start his own family. So he's got his future sketched out, and he can see it. But he still has to color it in. Hadi Mawagdi, KERA News.
Arturo Torres spoke with Art and Seek about his inspirations and what he sacrificed to become an illustrator. You can read that and check out his drawings at artandseek.org. For the evening, mostly cloudy skies later tonight. There's a 20% chance of rain with a low around 51. Tomorrow, cloudy. A continued chances for showers with a cool high in the mid-40s. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.